Today is the third Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 23, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, and 21 through 33. The message today is titled, The Living, the Redeemed Life. Hear from the Word of God from Romans chapter 6. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ in Christ, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you are now entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, the benefit you reap to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the lesson. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew from the 10th chapter. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. The Gospel of our Lord. Again, the message is titled, Living the Redeemed Life. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come and calm our hearts during these uncertain and turbulent times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and your unfailing love. Help our souls rest with the reassurances of your sovereign hand sustaining us through these days. Grow in our hearts an attitude of gratitude for your grace, such that we offer ourselves to you to live in holiness that leads to life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A movie I regularly watch, and more than likely I'm sure you've watched it several times too, is the movie called It's a Wonderful Life. Have many of you watched it over and over, It's a Wonderful Life? Every Thanksgiving, Christmas time it comes on, but I watch it more than that. And I prefer the original black and white version in lieu of the colorized version. For the black and white version brings out the mood and the message of the movie much more powerfully, in my opinion. As you know, in the movie, James Stewart's character, George Bailey, keeps getting his dreams smashed and taken away by a turning point of tragedy. His father dying, his brother getting married and moving away, the run on the bank. Each time George steps up and does what is right and good, and he does his best to help. And when George needed help at the end, the whole town came together to help George out of his troubles. Why? Because all that George had done for them. Now, it's interesting to note in It's a Wonderful Life, the movie never deals with the theft of the bank deposit monies by Mr. Potter, and money that the servant of Mr. Potter knows was stolen. Yet the contrast throughout the movie is ever present, showing who is good and who is happily living a meaningful life. Now, what I want to bring to your attention is the difference between Bedford Falls and Pottersville. When George wishes he was never born, we are introduced to Pottersville. Life in Pottersville is vastly different than Bedford Falls. Pottersville is a red light district, a place where crime is rampant. Pottersville is a place where life has been coarsened. In a manner, all the goodness of Bedford Falls is just gone, as the name and vileness and sinisterness of Mr. Potter has become the personality of the place. Without the Bailey's influence, the morals and goodness of Bedford Falls gives way to the moral decadence and evil of Mr. Potter. And this is what's happening in our land this day. What was Bedford Falls is disappearing, and what is Pottersville is coming. Defacing and destruction is increasing. Moral decadence is increasing. Telling the truth, that is faithfully reporting the news with honest facts, that's long gone, given way to viewpoint pushing, irrespective of facts. Freedom of association and freedom of speech is sidestepped to be freedom of speech for me, but not for thee. We must hold the same opinions as the most vocal are demanding and dare not criticize them. Chaos is increasing with the intention to drive towards Marxism and communism. In various places these past months, there's more freedom to go about in box stores than gathering as a church. And who would have thought of a day when there would be action to defund the police? Now even the families of police officers are being harassed in their homes. In Salinas, California, a church that's been there more than 25 years in a rental space. They've outgrown that rental space and they bought a building just in that same area that would meet their needs. The city denied their use permit. Restrictions were onerous for the church. The first floor must be commercial space. In that same area, theaters and other live entertainment venues are found. And recently, the judge of the U.S. District Court ruled that churches generate limited interest, do not draw tourists, and therefore detract from the city's goal of vibrancy. The legal organization said the judge's ruling determined that churches do not contribute to a vibrant and fun atmosphere and therefore may be excluded from Salinas' downtown area. Did you hear that? A church is incompatible with vibrancy of a town and fun? What lunacy from a district court judge. You see, Pottersville is coming, and more than likely, it will get worse. That free zone in Seattle, Washington, it's getting worse. There were shootings in it over this weekend. It's like Mogadishu has come here. how to stem the tide. How to find again what is so good about us. How to reclaim that Bedford Falls. The answer is return to God. In past history, as people moved west, one of the first buildings oftentimes built was a church. Why? Because the health and welfare of the community depended on the people's faith in the living God. People being faithful to the living God and living lives as followers of the Lord, doing what was right and what was good and what was honest, that made a town vibrant. Remember the days when a handshake meant everything? This was about the command of God, living out the Christian faith, being honest and truthful. Remember when I give you my word was all that was needed. Now a magnifying glass is needed to read the fine print. The reason is people changed. They no longer esteem the ways of God. Remember, during World War II, churches were full. Why? Because we knew that we needed God to come to the aid of righteousness and goodness to prevail against the rising tide of evil. Again, we need to see churches full, calling upon God to come to the aid of cause of righteousness and goodness to stem the rising evil. Will it be easy to call people back to righteousness and truth? No, not at all. Jesus tells his disciples of the hardship that will come on their way as they go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Some places will welcome them. Some will reject them. The disciples will be handed over to council and be flogged in synagogues. The disciples will be arrested. They will be betrayed. They will be hated on the account of Jesus. What was Jesus' words to his disciples then? Those words are the same for us today. The evil one does not like the message of the kingdom of God being proclaimed. More and more are falling in line with him and will not hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Still, you share Jesus as the disciples did years ago. Share Jesus and call people to live godly lives. Will there be violence and destruction and looting and burning of riots? Will those happen if people repent and return to the Lord their God? All those things will be gone as people live for the Lord. One of the influences that turned me to walk in this way of ministry was a book series by Peter Marshall Jr. along with David Manuel that told of American history through the eyes of Christian faith. And they told the eye stories through the eyes of Christian faith by going to the original sources, going to the biographies, those firsthand accounts, and sharing the faith of the founders and those before and after. Marshall Emanuel made vibrant and clear the hand of God moving in our history. The three books are titled The Light and the Glory, From Sea to Shining Sea, and Sounding Forth the Trumpet. And what I saw in history was that the Word of God, the power of God, the hand of God to change the course of history happened when God's people prayed, when God's people told others of Jesus Christ, when God's people lived out the faith of following God, the blessings came and lives were changed. There is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the power we need to see moving in these days. We need revival to break out once again across this land. America became great because America first was good. Good because they believed in God and trusted the Word of God. Were there warts? Yes. But God would be dealing with those warts too. There was a time you could leave your doors unlocked. There was a time you didn't need to lock your cars. You could leave your bicycle by your tree and you could go into the woods and play for a while. And when you came back, you knew your bicycle would be there. For there was a common ethos that permeated the culture from its Judeo-Christian roots. Self-restraint and obeying the law were a given, for they were the best way to live life. A few days ago, a friend sent to me a link to a YouTube video I had first seen several years ago. And this week's reminder of that video was a gift from God. In this video, Harvard Business School professor Clay Christensen speaks on religious freedom. The clip was first uploaded in March 2014. And in the video, Clay Christensen describes a conversation he had with a Marxist economist from China as this person was coming to the end of their Fulbright scholarship at Harvard. Professor Christensen asked if this Chinese Marxist economist had experienced or learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. Immediately the answer came, how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. And in summary, the reason why democracy works is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. In summary, what was said is that Americans believe that they were not accountable to society, but accountable to God. Then the video asks, as religion loses its influence over our lives, the lives of Americans, what will happen to democracy? Who will teach the next generation to voluntarily obey the laws? And the video concludes with a powerful statement that is exceedingly timely for our very day. This is how it concluded. Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police. This echoes what was said two centuries earlier by John Adams. John Adams said, two centuries ago, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Only a moral and religious people can keep this. Only people who feel they are accountable to God for what they do will be moral people that self-constrain and voluntarily obey the law. You know, most of you know it, have seen it, I have a car that is capable of breaking the speed limit more than two times over. And several years ago, I have to admit, I've taken it to 100. It's nice seeing those three digits. And that's only shifting from third to fourth. There's more fourth gear, and there's fifth gear on top of that. Now, sixth gear is too tall for top speed. But passing a car on the back route to Columbus, downshifting, I can easily zip around that car and pass quite easily, for my car has no problem putting that VA to singing quite nicely. But do I speed? No, I don't speed on a regular. Do I have a lead foot? No. It's just not worth it. But more than that, it's not right. I self-regulate. And this is not so much that civil life is orderly and good, which is good. I self-regulate because I've been redeemed by the living God, which is vastly far better. This self-constraint, this self-regulating, voluntarily obeying, that's what Paul is describing in Romans chapter 6, we heard today. Romans 6, verses 11 and 12. In the same manner, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. We, you and I who believe Jesus is the Christ, we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. God the Father desires us to offer ourselves to God and to God alone, to do not let sin or evil desires, which bring chaos and evil in society, do not be those instruments of wickedness. We have been brought from death to life. Now, be instruments of righteousness. Be instruments of good. In the Marvel comic universe, you have beings with powers. There are one group of beings called superheroes because they use their powers for helping others and doing good. Then there are supervillains who use their powers for selfish ambition and gain, and they do great destruction irregardless of the harm to others. For others, doing good, or for self-doing destruction. We see this in our land as choices are being made, some for good Others are for destruction. But you and I, we are called to live wholeheartedly to God. We are called to obedience. We are called to righteousness. We are called to holiness. We are called to leave behind the things that lead to death and cling to the things that lead to life. As it's written in Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 21. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What benefit is there in doing the things that bring you shame? What benefit is there that are doing the things that bring death? What benefit is there being set free from sin? What benefit is there becoming a slave to God? The benefit of holiness, with the result being eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ. Living the redeemed life is setting the heart on the things of God, seeking to do the will of God. And it's not to earn the favor of God, nay. We do the will of God because we are children of God who have been bought with a great price, that redeeming power of the blood of Christ. We do the will of God as a child of God from a heart overflowing for our Father in heaven. And we desire to see our Father's joy being expressed through us, His children. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. It means honor God with all that you can be. You notice what happens when a heart is redeemed? The internal constraints come on and they become captive to the Word of God. That's a difference maker. No more stealing, no more false witness, no more murder, no more lying, no more coveting, no more. All of those start to become important and internal constraints. I don't need a law to tell me not to take things because I know God's Word says don't do it. And that's good enough for me. It's the work of God, all by grace, in our lives as children of God, from the Father alone, through Jesus Christ, who indwells us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Man-made rules will never bring about the change that needs to happen. Only the Word of God, redeeming a heart, will make the things that need to happen, happen. Only the grace of God, taking a sinner from the kingdom of darkness and under the evil one, and bringing that sinner into the kingdom of light by grace, by redeeming with the blood of Christ. That is the only thing that will make the difference from keeping us from being Pottersville or Bedford Falls. It is the grace of God changing a heart. Only the Word of God reigning in that heart that has been redeemed by Christ. A heart that is set free to live this redeemed life. A heart that measures every word and every thought by the Word of God, which is doing the will of the Father. Whether in thought, whether in word, it's will this reflect the beauty of my Lord? Will it bring about the kingdom of God in our midst? Live the redeemed life. Just put your imagination into place and see what would life look like if all the people that are currently doing the things that should not be done started doing the things out of love for God and for neighbor as themselves. What would life look like? There would be peace. There'd be harmony. There'd be what God desired from the very beginning, when He created man in His own image. Yet sin falled, sin came, but Christ has overcome sin, and by the gift of grace and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can live the redeemed life. Is it easy? No. Will everyone think it's great? No. You going to preach the kingdom of God in some places in this culture? They will throw you out. They will brutalize you. And in different places in this world, you will be killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach Christ anyways. Because that is what you and I are called to do. That is living the redeemed life. That is bringing the kingdom of God wherever we go. It's living out the command of Christ. And we do it because we love the Father in heaven. We are grateful for what grace has done in our lives. And we're just so pleased to have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us get up again and go into the next day. You know it just as much as I know it. What our culture needs is the redeeming work of Christ. It needs revival. Legislative answers will not do it. Only the living God will do what needs to be done. And that's hearts redeemed, so they can too live the redeemed life. So my brother and my sister, on this Father's Day, thank your Father in heaven for the gift of grace and the opportunity being redeemed by the blood of Christ to live that redeemed life, which brings holiness, which brings righteousness, which brings eternal life. Share that with all you meet this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.